Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad you found your way here. Take a look at your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements about worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. This morning is a Fusion Sunday, so we will ask everyone to stay in worship with us as you are comfortable and able, and we'll have some time for interactive worship experiences, especially with our youngest worshipers today. But even if you are feeling young at heart, or however you'd like to define yourself in age today, everyone, please make sure you have a stone. We will be doing something during worship, more than just our prayer time together. So make sure you have those stones in hand. We have a few announcements today. Just a note that we will be watching together the Forgiveness documentary. We will be doing that in the adult lounge or room one. So go on down to Fellowship Hall, grab some bagels and meet together in the adult lounge to do that together. Also today, from 3 until 5, at the Islamic Center is an educational and interfaith educational opportunity about compassion. I will be there, so would love to see some GPC faces there. We have a few other announcements. Jan?
Good morning. An announcement from the property development team. Please make note of the announcement that's in the bulletin. 2 weeks from today, on April 14th, I can't believe it's April already, Rob Kane from Pathstone will be here to meet with the congregation after worship to go over the terms of the proposed lease with Pathstone. And then on Sunday, April 28th, there will be the formal vote by the congregation whether to proceed, and that meeting will be moderated by Amy Fowler, our presbyter of the presbytery. So please keep those two important dates in mind. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Linda and I are up here to thank everybody for yesterday. We, Gates Presbyterian, hosted the presbytery meeting, and we had an abundance of food. So please, please partake of any free food that's out in the fellowship hall. There's the little clementines, apples, bagels, cream cheese, you name it, scones, and cookies and coffee and punch, of course. And I want to thank a lot of the volunteers that helped. Without you, we couldn't have kept the thing going, kept the people fed, and I don't know, it was a great event. I was pooped at the end, didn't want to look at food. But yeah, please partake. There's bags, you can just grab and go. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to the people that came also and helped set up chairs and move tables. And on Saturday, we had a lot of help out in the parking lot that it was raining. And the people that work out in the parking lot don't always get noticed as the unsung heroes, I guess they are. But I want to let you know that we had people coming in that said, oh, it was so nice to have somebody escort us with an umbrella. They really do appreciate what we do out in the parking lot for our people. And the people that helped again on Saturday put things back in order. All of your help is so needed and so appreciated. We can't do this without you. We had over 95 people that actually were registered for the meeting. And wonderful comments. Again, I walked somebody by the sanctuary going to another meeting room, and he looked in and he was just in awe, and he said, what a beautiful sanctuary you have. He said, I'm really into the architecture of the sanctuary, and I described some of the features of it, and he thought it was great. And another person said, what a colorful church you have. And I thought, we don't think about this, but it's really we put who we are out there. And so thank you, everyone, for all of your help. We do appreciate it.
Thank you to both of you for all of your leadership in hosting the Presbytery meeting. For those who received your Harbinger, also a note that we were pending the vote, and the vote of the Presbytery was a yes, and so we will be welcoming the Presbytery offices here to GPC. Meetings like that will not happen every day, thankfully, but we will welcome 4 staff people here to GPC for the Presbytery. All right, another announcement. Don't miss next Sunday. The Reverend Katie Jo Sudeby, who is an incredibly talented artist and creates Tibetan sand mandalas, will be here leading worship, creating a sand mandala as we worship together. So you won't want to miss that. Now, friends, let us begin this time of worship, remembering the 2 simple truths of forgiveness. There is nothing that cannot be forgiven, and there is no one undeserving of forgiveness. Stand as you are able for our responsive psalm found on page number 473 of your hymnal. Let us join our voices together. Mm-hmm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
Restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, in the waters of baptism you give us birth, and at your table you nourish us with heavenly food. In your goodness and mercy, lead us along safe paths beyond the terrors of evil and death to the house of the Lord, where we may rest securely in you forever. Amen. You may be seated. So if you will, find your stone. Place it in your hand again. You're invited to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so. But take a moment and pay attention to your breath. Don't direct your breath, just follow it. Notice that stone in your hand. This stone has spent weeks journeying with you on this path of forgiveness. Take a moment to give thanks for the ways it has helped you. Stay with this emotion of gratitude, or pay attention to another emotion that bubbles up inside of you that makes you feel good. Now imagine this emotion radiating out from inside you. And breathe into this feeling, what it feels like to be free of fear and anger and hatred and resentment. Remember that this place of peace lives within you. It belongs to you. You can step into this place whenever you wish. It is yours, and no one can take this place of peace from you. Now imagine for a moment the person or people that you have been trying to forgive. Can you imagine this person as a small child or infant, a time before they hurt anyone, a time before they hurt you? Can you bless them and wish them well? Can you let them go? pause and listen to what the heart hears. I can draw you as a cipher so unlike me. I can make you less than human, and I can erase your story. Then I have work to do and nothing to forgive. But there is pain waiting for me, and I cannot remove it without facing your story. There is pain waiting for me, and to clear it, I must admit our shared story. Let us sing together, Lord, have mercy.
First reading comes from Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of humans and the seeds of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. May God add wisdom to his words.
So we are nearing the end of this season of Lent and the conclusion of this path of forgiveness we've been walking together. Tomorrow, we will finally turn the calendar and see that Easter is right around the corner, even if Rochester weather continues not to cooperate. But regardless of whether snow covers daffodils on Easter, we will tell a new story of God's love for God's people. A story that insists nothing, not even death, can separate us from God's love and forgiveness in our lives. As Christians, these verses that we read from Jeremiah and the promise of the new covenant may evoke our longing to hear the good news of the resurrection. but we aren't there yet. First hearers, the words of the prophet were spoken to the Israelite people, a people who also knew longing and brokenness and sin, and a denial that nothing new could possibly happen for them. And on the path of forgiveness, this is where many of us stuck. This is where pain and heartbreak really take over. When we're faced with a situation or a hurt, and we just can't see beyond it, we can't imagine a new day. For the ancient Israelites, this text is situated in that season. The city of Jerusalem has been conquered and burned, the temple has been destroyed, the monarchy has been terminated, and the leading citizens deported in exile to Babylon. At the end of the day, they lie in their beds weeping because they just can't get beyond the hurt and only see pain in front of them. Now, this prophet poet, who himself is known for rolling around in the ashes, putting on the sackcloth and gnashing his teeth, pauses for just a moment to lift his head, to name possibility of hope, that the way back to God is the way of forgiveness, that forgiveness is the new story that God chooses to tell, and so can we. In these verses, we heard God say, "I will remember their sin no more." Now, don't be mistaken, this is not the equivalent of the cliche, forgive and forget. Hopefully, over this journey of forgiveness, we have all learned that that is not what forgiveness means. Desmond and Mfotutu are very clear throughout the entire book that there is not a one-size-fits-all definition of forgiveness. And just like forgiveness, our stories, the new stories that God tells with us, are going to look different. But Tutu has a way of describing forgiveness in feelings and emotions and offers that maybe for some it feels like a huge weight has been lifted. For others, it can be that sense of peace. Or it simply can be that you know that you have forgiven when you wish the other person well. And if you can't wish them well, you at least no longer wish them harm. As we have said, there is freedom in forgiveness. And when you feel this new freedom, you have forgiven. The freedom to imagine a new story. So those rocks, find them again. Hopefully they did not go far. You can put them in your hand. These rocks are going to be an expression of this path that we've been following of forgiveness. This rock is going to represent these new stories that you choose to tell. So, before I give you more instructions, I'm going to invite the children forward now. Jen and Harmony are going to meet them up here. So, kids, come on forward. And this can be children of any age, or if you just want to sit on a pile of pillows because it's more comfortable, you can do that. So, please, children, come on forward. And as the kids are coming forward, if the ushers would distribute Sharpies. So the kids are coming forward because they get washable markers. So I guess if you don't trust yourself with a Sharpie, you can also come forward. So the kids, welcome to come forward. So the ushers are going to make sure that you all get Sharpies. Kids, find a seat at a table or on the floor, wherever you are comfortable. There we go. Bigger kids, you may want the floor. Whatever. Whatever works for you. There are markers. Ushers are distributing the Sharpies. No Sharpies to children. We're all good. And everyone has their rocks, right? So I'm going to tell you two stories as we create together. These two stories are about one place, Beirut, Lebanon. So Beirut, Lebanon is a community in the Middle East. It is a city that has seen a lot of sadness and hurt and pain and violence and war. The two stories I'm going to tell about Beirut, Lebanon, one comes from a children's book that you'll be able to see on the screen, and the other will be a video about the Forgiveness Garden. So while I am sharing these stories, you take those Sharpies. There may not be enough, so neighbors, you may have to share a little. On your stones, I would invite you to write symbols, pictures, or words about what forgiveness looks like, or feels like, or means to you. Basically, what is forgiveness? Write an image, write a word, take as long as you like, and place that on the stone. You will have all of our worship time to work on your stones. What is forgiveness? Hi, friends. Oh, good. Some extra friends. Hi. So you all want to take a seat? Good. Have a seat. And find your stone. And you also can put your attention here up on the screen as we share a story together. All right. Are we ready? Do you guys want to see a story? I've got one. It's up here. There we go. It's called The Forgiveness Garden. There was a valley, and through the valley ran a stream. The village of Vayam stood on the one side, and the village of Gamti stood on the other. There was no peace in the valley, for the two villages hated each other for a very long time. One day, a new argument sparked. Both villages claimed part of the stream as their own. Angry words flew across the stream. Can you all see up on the... What else is flying across the stream? Can you see? The rocks, yes. A Gamti boy named Karun picked up a large stone and hurled it across the water. Please don't throw your stones. And a Vayam girl named Sama stood where the stone fell. The stone hit Sama hard on the head, and she fell to the ground. The villagers of Vayam ran to help. The villagers of Gamti cheered and ran away. The Vayams called out for revenge. They were angry, and they were afraid. Would the Gamtis ever stop fighting us? They gathered around Sama, admiring her courage, plotting their revenge, and as the days passed, Sama's pain began to lessen, but her hatred grew. In the village of Gamte Chu, the people were angry and they were afraid. Would the Vayams fight us always? They gathered around Karun, praising his courage, scheming how to defend against the Vayams. Karun secretly wondered how brave he had truly been, but his hatred grew. One day, Sama walked along the stream, yearning for something to ease her aching, angry heart. She reached a calm pool and bent to drink. What she saw reflected there stopped her, but she saw the ugly scar. Most of us saw her own dark, brooding scowl. "Who have I become?" she cried. Sama wept for a long time. And then Sama looked across the stream. There a few children from Gamte walked together. How scared and angry and sad they looked. And Sama's heart softened. They are just like us, she thought. Suddenly, a few of Sama's own people ran up. Here you are, they shouted. The time for revenge has come. And they pulled her away to join the fight. Villagers from Vayam and Gamte crowded around the stream. The Vayams held a captive. It was Karun. They all held stones. A large stone was put into Sama's hands. It was the stone that Karun had thrown. Throw the stone at him, her people hissed. Throw it hard. Sama looked at the villagers, those from Vayam and those from Gamte. Their faces were like hers. They had been hardened with an anger of fear and hate. Suddenly, Sama knew what she had to do. No, she said in a clear, loud voice. I won't hurt him. Let the boy go. Her people grumbled, and Sama went on. It is time to stop the fighting, she said. We must stop hurting and hating. And she flung the large stone to the ground. Let us build a garden instead, she said. Now all of the people grumbled. Someone shouted, what kind of garden? Sama knew, a forgiveness garden. Some people gasped, some scoffed, and some laughed. But some from Vayam murmured, if Sama wants it, they let Karun go. Then they piled their stones near Sama's. Some from Gamte saw this and whispered, it's worth a try. They added stones of their own. Only Karun hung back, scared and angry. Stone by stone, the people of the valley built a garden wall together. But they had questions. If we forgive, must we forget all that happened? Asked the villagers of Vayam. Sama answered, we will sit together in the garden and decide. Must we apologize? Asked the villagers of Gamte. Will the Vayams apologize? And Sama answered, the garden will help us find what is right. Still, Karun stayed apart, watching and thinking. Villagers set flowers into the soil and planted a tree. When the garden was complete, its loveliness made everyone smile. The garden is for all of us, Sama said. It can help us to put aside hate and learn what forgiveness feels like. Will you join me? At first, no one dared. The two villagers had hated each other for a long, long time. It was hard to try a new way. And then Karun, brave Karun, stepped forward. I will join you, he said to Sama. Sama of Vayan, Karun of Gamte, stepped into the garden together. They sat under the tree and began to talk. What do you think they said? So these two small towns are right out of sight of Beirut, Lebanon, and they created a garden out of their stones that they wanted to hurt other people with and made a garden of forgiveness. I'm going to show one more video, and we'll talk just a bit more.
prisoners of the past until we deal with the past. We're prisoners of these old-rooted grievances unless we release them, unless we forgive them. We can talk a lot about peace, but we don't get there unless we pass through the gates of forgiveness and compassion. I talked to many, many different people, and it was then that I had a feeling that to do a symbolic garden of forgiveness in the center of the city.
Given downtown Beirut was a permanent battlefield for 20 years, Alessandra Saili thought important to create a space to acknowledge what has taken place on these grounds as reconstruction was booming. This is James Mauvel Wu, pastor and leader of a Christian paramilitary group in Nigeria. This is Imam Muhammad Nurian Ashafa, leader of a Muslim youth organization. Both contributed personally to the escalation of the Zangun-Kataf conflict during the late 80s and tried to have each other killed. When they later discovered their mistakes, Wu and Ashafa each took the event as a sign from God and began to collaborate as peacemakers. The pastor and the imam set forth a model for reconciliation between Christians and Muslims across Nigeria.
When I had the idea for this, which came as a kind of vision, I didn't know what to do with this vision. So I wrote my vision on a bit of paper, and this has been expanded, but most of the vision is here. And Solidaire told my husband, yes, well, why not? They gave me a map of the city, and I walked around the city with this map where they were going to put green spaces all over the city. And I asked God to give me a sign. I was standing there rather sadly looking out over rubble, and at that point I got this experience again. And so I knew that this was the place for the garden.
Beirut has been destroyed 7 times. The land that Solidaire gave to build the Garden of Forgiveness on happens to be the epicenter of the 7 previously destroyed Beiruts. It is covered by ruins from all the different civilizations that have occupied this country.
Let me just show you the extraordinary thing about this place. You have Greek Catholic, Greek Orthodox, and Maronite cathedrals. Three mosques, three cathedrals, and in the middle, Shrine to Mary. This is the shrine. It used to be in a market souk as a shrine in the souk. Now, the souk in Nari was a place where you bought fish and donkey tackle. And
you could find anything.
This souk was running along here and around here. And that space, the space where that was down below in the souk shrine where thousands of women would go. Thousands and thousands of women, Muslim Christian women, would get past. And it was a very famous, so it was the shrine to Nuri, which was the Nuri who had saved the boat in the center of the city.
The Lady of the Light.
The Lady of the Light. I'm going to take you into the chapel.
We need a space, a secure place for people to express themselves.
Absolutely.
And I feel this will be part of the secure place for people to really go back to history and connect those history from Greek to Roman and then to Byzantium, to connect those memories of the past. And we would just say, there's nothing eternal. There's no pain that is eternal.
Under the influence, as I pray, there is a prayer ongoing in the background. That is the unity of connecting to you. We come to this space that is dedicated to peace. We pray, O God, that as this sanctuary and eventually the garden will be dedicated, May your presence be felt each time people walk through the garden and come into the garden. If they have pains in their hearts, Lord, may you cure and heal them of their pains. And from north, south, east, and west, Lord, you will bring resources to build this great place. Just like the cedars of Lebanon was used to erect the temple, Lord, may there also be wealth from around the world coming to build this place. We trust that it will not just be symbolic, but it will have a strong spiritual impact.
Stories of hope and forgiveness and love are possible. So your stones that you are coloring on, and I'm going to invite, kids are fine here the rest of worship. If they need to get up and move or go where they need to, that's good too. But keep drawing, keep creating, and through the rest of worship, you all are also invited to keep drawing, keep creating those symbols of forgiveness. If you notice a neighbor didn't have a Sharpie, make sure you share it so that folks have an opportunity to create. At the end of worship today, I'm going to invite you to place your stone in our garden of forgiveness. I know, it'll be cold, but I promise we'll do it quickly. We'll head out the doors right here. Okay, so there's those glass doors. We'll go to the right, and there is already a stone garden. We will place our stones amongst those stones to know that there is a place for us to all go, to remember that there is no pain that is eternal, that God's grace and love is always possible, that new stories are possible. Friends, let us now sing together. As we continue our time of worship together, we bring those pains in our hearts and in our world and the joys that we celebrate together. How can we pray for one another today If you have a prayer of joy to share aloud, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring a microphone to you. Let us know who you are and how we can pray with you today. We've got one over here. Nice job, Keith. Go ahead, Barb.
Good morning. Barb Snaith. I'd like prayers for a coworker who a couple days ago had foot surgery. She was a little nervous, but I'm praying that she has smooth recovery because I'm going to miss her. She's going to be out for 2 months. So
prayers for our coworker.
Thank you. Name is Doris.
Surgery.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Any others? I've got one right over here. There we go.
I'd like prayers for a family. The daughter came in to see me for an intake, and her mother was already a patient at the clinic who went through a very violent mental hygiene arrest, was handcuffed, and it was very disturbing to the daughter who was a trauma survivor. So keeping their family in your prayers.
Amen, definitely. Yes, sir. Hi, yes, Owen, do you have a prayer? Can you use the microphone? Can you turn around? There you go. All right, tell me your prayer.
We like you and we like Jesus because he's a God
and yeah, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Best prayer ever. All right. Can I have it? Thank you. So I think that's just perfect. Amen. We like you, and Jesus is God. Amen. It sums it up perfectly. You can't really go much more beyond that. And friends, we also continue to hold, as we have watched the video and heard the stories, from the perspective of children as well, those who are in Israel-Palestine, as the continued rhetoric and violence continues to increase in Gaza and also the Golan Heights. I will be returning back to Israel-Palestine this May, and the stories that I see and hear with my own eyes and ears are always so different than what we see on the television screens. So we're just holding the communities in Israel and Palestine in prayer today and always. Let us continue our time of prayer. Love has its source in you, Creator God, that flows from you like an ocean into a world as unyielding as any shoreline cliff. Like that ocean which batters, erodes, and wears away even the hardest stone, your love persists, finds cracks and inlets in hardened hearts, flows inside and works miracles. Who would think that water was more powerful than granite? Love mightier than the hardest hearts. Thank you, O God, for the power of your love in our lives now and always. We offer the prayers using the words that your Son taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Generous God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it means to love, and you call us to follow your example, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Continue to write your law of love on our hearts. Give us an unwavering passion for justice and a tenuous faith that will not rest until the hungry are fed, the oppressed find relief, and the outsider finds a welcome. Amen.
The children shall lead us. And they also have reminded me that maybe some of us aren't quite ready yet to release our rocks. We need to hang on to them a bit longer. You're invited to do that as well. But if you would like to place your rock in our garden of forgiveness, we'll make our way out quickly and come back in. Confident in that love of God that is stronger than any hate or pain or suffering we may endure. And we are assured of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to throw rocks either, because we know that the Holy Spirit is going to give us courage to release that pain and live into love and grace and forgiveness now and always. Amen.